Hello, everybody out there in the podcast world. Welcome to the latest episode of the Krusty Crankshaft. That's right. Welcome to the Crankshaft. This is me, Krusty, at it again, here with another episode. Just like I said, I'd like to thank Anchor for making this possible. If you haven't checked out their app, go ahead and give it a try. It's fantastic. What I wanted to talk about today was tools. So technicians and their tools. So, for example, like what do you need as a new technician? What are you going to need when you get out there? How do you pay for your tools? Does a dealership buy tools for you? What tools to buy? And et cetera. So, just a few examples. Tools. So when you start out as a new technician, when I was a tech and I went to when I went to trade school and I came out of trade school, we started with a very basic set. I mean, it was just a set that was in a metal toolbox. It was an old Stanley toolbox. So this is back in like 93. I'll never forget. I think we paid $500 for this. And what I got, like I said, was a metal toolbox, just like a Stanley, like a plumber's kind of carry on, like you keep in the back of your trunk toolbox. So we get this thing, and we had some Stanley screwdrivers, not the greatest screwdrivers. A quarter inch set of SK tool or ratchets and ratchet sockets and some extensions, very basic 3/8 set SK once again, metric standard. These are all metric standard at that time. Half inch drive. We got a half inch drive ratchet and a half inch drive, chrome set, and we also got an impact set of standard. Just a few. No, I take that back. We did not get an impact set. I apologize. We got an SK hammer, just a 9 ounce, 10 ounce. I'm not even sure what it was. Ball peen hammer. It was an SK. Pair of channel locks, pair of needle nose pliers, and a pair of regular pliers. I think that was about it. Pretty sure that was it. And this is what we had. So we were expected to go out into the dealership with a toolbox like a plumber would carry. Once again, there was nothing on wheels, no kind of chest toolbox, you know what I mean? Nothing modern, and it was quite embarrassing, to be honest. So what my parents did for graduation is they bought me this basic bottom Craftsman toolbox from Sears, and it was probably, I don't know, less than a couple hundred bucks, $150 or whatever. So at least I had that. So that's what I started out with, and that was it. We didn't have an impact, an air gun, nothing like that. Now that I think of it, we did have a basic set of chisels, like some very basic chisels, and that was really it. And this is what we were expected to go out with, and repair cars. I mean, you couldn't really do very much, even in your driveway with that small set of tools. So that's probably not going to be enough. So when I was an instructor, those guys and gals, they actually got a nice bottom box, and it was made by Waterloo. I can't remember the company that it was badged as right off the top of my head, but it was a nice bottom box. What are they, like 24 inches wide, or so, 18 inches deep, something like that. Had four or five drawers, and we got that same basic stuff. It was actually, we got a from a place called Anderson Tools, and they sell just about everything in a normal budget brand like SK. They exclusively sold SK. They had a lot of Lyle stuff, and so on at that store. But anyway, so we got these Waterloo boxes for the students, and they got SK screwdrivers, SK 3/8 set, quarter inch, half inch, chrome, and impact sockets. They also got an impact. They had a set of chisels. They had a small ball peen hammer, a bigger hammer. And then they had, a larger sledgehammer, like a 3 pound sledge. They had a little pry bar, an air gun, if I didn't say that already. So they were pretty well equipped. So they had some swivel sockets, a little bit more. I mean, not enough to actually do a, major transmissions and stuff with. But I guess if you had to use all hand tools, you didn't get any air ratchets or anything like that. And that's what they got. And it was about $1,000. So and it was about $1,000, and it was a pretty good set. They came with that nice box so they could wheel it in and not be embarrassed. Everything was SK or, you know, Lyle, the impact sockets were Sunex, which if you're not familiar with Sunex, I've had some of those sockets I've had for 20 years or more, and they're actually not bad. They carry a lifetime guarantee. So, you know, if you are looking something budget friendly, that's probably, well, it's definitely a little better than some of the stuff that you might get at Harbor Freight, and that stuff's gotten way better over the years. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, but, that's what I would get, you know, for a basic set or, you know, some entry level sockets. But, what should you do as an entry level technician? So don't fall. What I recommend, and these are all just my recommendations through my experiences, you don't have to agree with them. And if you don't, let me know. I'm glad to hear. I would love to hear positive, negative things. If I need to improve, make some changes or something you want me to talk about, please feel free to drop me a line. Don't fall into the Snap-on, Matco, big name brand tool truck trap right off the bat. And I'm going to say trap because those guys work on commission and they need to make sales. So the easiest guinea pig or person to sell, and I shouldn't say that, that's not nice, but the easiest sale is some new technicians. You're all gung-ho. You're just getting out there in the little world, and Snap-on comes in, and here comes the big flashy Snap-on truck. Oh, here comes the Snap-on guy. Woo! And everybody gets excited when the tool guy comes because you want to go see what's new. Of course you want to go see what's new, but don't go on that truck and just be like, whoa, look at all this stuff, and then fall into that trap of, man, I got to have the Snap-on stuff. No, you don't. You do not need to have Snap-on stuff. Is it good? Of course it is. Is Matco good? Of course it is. Is SK pretty good? Not as good as those ones some of the time, but yes. But you do not need those to start off the bat, to start out. You need a good set, like I spoke of, but don't fall into that trap just because it's expensive. You're committed to a payment every week, which is now done through usually a credit card. It didn't used to be that way when I was started out back in the 90s. Usually it was like on the honor system through a lot of these guys. You just signed an agreement and you just paid them cash. They didn't do a background check. There was no credit card involved, no high interest if you missed a payment. And that's the way it is nowadays for the most part with my experiences. You're basically getting a credit card through Snap-on or Matco or whoever it may be, and you're paying them. And if you miss a payment, you get whacked with interest. It has a high interest rate. You know, you're going to get charged penalties. You don't need a $5,000 or more toolbox. That toolbox just houses your tools. You need something that's decent with a lock on it. You want it to look good, of course, but you don't need to get this fancy camouflaged real tree camo, whatever it is. You don't need that. It's not going to make you any money. Not right off the bat. Don't buy it. Don't fall into it. Harbor Freight, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to get a lot of slack for this probably. Harbor Freight makes really nice toolboxes right now. Not right now, but they make really nice toolboxes. You could buy for a couple grand, you could buy a bigger toolbox than you'll ever need. But you could go there and spend, Sears is gone for the most part, so you can't go there. They used to have pretty nice toolboxes. Harbor Freight, you can get a really nice toolbox. I'm going to say it again, Harbor Freight. $500 or something, you could get a really nice toolbox. Menards, if you're familiar with Menards, they have really nice toolboxes. Home Depot and Lowe's, they've got excellent toolboxes. You can get like Milwaukee, they sell DeWalt branded ones that have, you know, the DeWalt colors, yellow, whatever. But they have those are very nice toolboxes. For $500 or $600, you can get a toolbox at Home Depot that'll last you for years. It'll have ball bearing drawers, and it'll be just as good as Johnny's $5,000 Snap-on toolbox. Don't fall into that trap, and don't fall into just buying all these tools that you don't need. If you're starting out, you're probably just going to be changing oil anyways. So if you're just changing oil, rotating tires, doing some brakes, basic stuff like that, you're not going to need a bunch of crazy stuff. I mean, you're going to need some Torx bits, some Allen, you know, bits, you know, specialty stuff like that, depending on the line and the manufacturer. I mean, everything's going to be metric nowadays. There's very little that's standard, but don't fall into that trap of the big tool guys. Oh, don't fall into that trap. Please don't fall into that trap. And I'm not saying that they're bad, because of course they're not bad. They're quality tools, but those guys come in every week. So they'll be there when you need them. They have a purpose, but just buy the best that you can afford. I'm not saying you should go to like I don't know, Target and buy some bologna set or Big Lots. Of course not. It has to be decent. And I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to catch slack for it probably, but Harbor Freight actually has some pretty decent stuff now. And it will work for you. The benefit is there's a Harbor Freight everywhere. There's one in every town just about. You know, unless you live in a real small town out in BFE or something like that. But they're everywhere. Go buy that. There's nothing wrong with it. It used to not be that great, but I've got stuff that I buy there. Every once in a while, I go there and I buy a quarter-inch ratchet or some sockets or a pry bar or something, and it'll work. You know, if they have the real cheap stuff and it looks pretty rough, then maybe not. But the stuff that they have that they consider their professional line or their better line is pretty nice, and it will probably serve you well. Maybe not the impact sockets. I've seen those be questionable because the metals are kind of soft, but all their stuff, like I said, has gotten better over the years, and they advertise a lifetime guarantee on this stuff. So buy it, try it, buy the best that you can afford. I had a lot of Craftsman tools starting out because Sears was everywhere. Sears has gone by the wayside, and they guaranteed their stuff. You know, some of their cheaper air tools weren't great, and some of the cheaper air tool stuff from Harbor Freight isn't going to be great, but if you buy the better stuff, it will be. Buy an old Ingersoll. I forget the model now. The old heavy Ingersolls. They still make those things. You can get them for like a little over $100. They've got probably 250 foot-pounds of torque in reverse. More than enough and forward to get you in trouble either way. They're heavy, but they will get the job done for you, and you will have it forever. They're a tank. They'll last forever. You can get parts for them. You can rebuild them. Harbor Freight has some knockoffs like that. They have those earthquake ones. I've seen those, the 20 volt, I think they are. Don't quote me on that. The rechargeable ones. When I was an instructor, I've had students that had the 3/8, the half inch, and the 3/8 ratchet, the electric ratchet. And those things were great. They were great. They had more torque than you will ever need. It'll probably last you for years. Hopefully Harbor Freight's not going anywhere. The benefit of cordless stuff now is you don't need that air hose, and the batteries will last you all day. So if you can afford those, buy one of those over an air operated one, I probably would suggest. The Snap-on ones are like $800, $900 or more for an electric impact. And of course they're good and they're going to be around forever, but I used them hand in hand with the Earthquake or whatever the brand, the better brand of the electric ones are at the cordless ones at Harbor Freight, and they work great. You probably wouldn't even notice a difference unless you put it on if you use some kind of torque gauge or something like that, but they will serve you well. Buy the best that you can afford. Like I said, I used to get a lot of Craftsman tools, and I still have them. I'm 47 years old. I got this stuff when I was in my 20s, and it served me okay. It's not going to be as good as Snap-on. But like I said, those guys are going to be there. They're going to come in every week. They're going to come every week. Start small. Buy something small. You know, set up an account with them. You know, don't get crazy. Buy a set of sockets or something for $100. Pay that off. Then buy, another set of impact sockets or a set of impact swivels, a 3/8 cordless impact or an air gun, 3/8 air gun, an air ratchet. That stuff you're going to need. So buy that stuff if that's what you want to do. Start small, though. Don't get crazy. Don't rack up thousands of dollars worth of stuff, because then you got this payment. You're probably only going to be making $10, $12, $13 an hour anyway. So you don't want to have to pay half of that out every week to these tool guys. You will in time. Work up to that. It'll be okay. But when they do come in, if you need something, and the rule of thumb that we always played by is if you have to borrow something twice, then you need to buy it. So if you borrowed it from Johnny over here, then you need to buy it if you borrowed it twice. And another thing about that, you'll be lucky if you can get guys to let you borrow tools. If you get some nice guys in a shop and they kind of take you under your wing, which there usually are some guys, I was that guy. But if somebody lets you borrow something, be mindful of it. Be respectful of it. If you borrowed it, it might break. You might break it. Don't put it back without telling that guy, because he's never going to let you touch any of his crap again. Make sure you at least tell him, because he's probably got a warranty on it. He probably got it from Snap-on or Matco or one of the big ones, and he's probably got a warranty, and he may be a little upset. But if you tell him, hey, I broke it, I'm sorry, then he's probably going to be okay with it. Some of those screwdrivers, though, after they've broken the tips off because they got that hardened tip and you can see the line there, don't use them as a pry bar, because it's going to break the tip off and they're going to be mad, because they sometimes don't warranty the screwdrivers maybe more than once, because they know that people use them as pry bars. So don't do that. Please don't do that. But you will build up to it. And by all means, if you want to buy a nice box in a couple years, because you're going to probably spend over the next 10 years in your career, you're probably going to spend 50 grand or more, probably more. I mean, when you go to a dealership or any shop, I shouldn't say just dealership or any reputable bigger shop, they're going to have the bigger stuff. They're going to have cherry pickers to pull engines and tranny jacks for transmissions, and they're going to have scanners. They should have scanners. A lot of guys now are buying scanners because there's a lot of stuff out there that's Windows based and Android based. They're very user friendly. They have a lot of suggestive items in there where they can, if you have a oxygen sensor code, they'll tell you the most repairs that they've seen for that particular Ford model or whatever it is. And again, don't fall into the trap where you pull up a code and start hanging parts. Make sure you do your proper diagnostics, and we're going to get into that later. Do not fall into that. If it were that easy, and everybody that goes to AutoZone, or I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, or any of the smaller, anybody that goes to an auto parts store and gets it scanned, don't let those guys just talk you into hanging a part on it. I mean, it's a 50-50 chance, usually less than that. Usually it's probably 70% that they're going to be wrong and 30% that they're right. But, I mean, that's where proper diagnostic comes in. So you need to do your proper diagnostics on anything, no matter what it is. Transmission problems, there's always diagnostics. You look it up. There's a diagnostics that'll tell you how to check, do voltage drops for battery starter drop, or to see if to check your battery, your voltage drops across your starting circuit, or any circuit for that matter. But there's diagnostics procedures. Every manufacturer has it listed somewhere. Whether it's a fluid leak diagnostics, they'll give you, it's not going to be particular to that vehicle, but it's going to be a roundabout, look for this, look for that, put some dye in there if you have a leak. There's air conditioning dye, there's engine oil dye, there's transmission dye, plant power steering, coolant, there's all those dyes. So put them in there if you got a leak and you can't find it. There's no shame in that. But proper diagnostics is key. It is key. That's what separates the men from the boys, or the girls from the women. But it's all in the diagnostics. If you can't diagnose cars in this industry, then you're probably not going to make it. The nuts and bolts are easy. The nuts and bolts. So the mechanical part, the brakes, the internal part of the engine, that's all works the same as it has for many, many years. Has it gotten more complicated? Yes. I mean, valve trains have gotten more complicated. We didn't have quad cams years ago or more than that. We didn't have 8 to 10 speed transmissions, but the engine still works on four things: suck, squish, bang, blow. Intake, compression, combustion, exhaust is how it gets it, and how the transmission gets the fluid through the passages and the clutches and the bands is what's gotten better, or what's gotten difficult is the electronic part of it. The nuts and bolts, brakes are still hydraulic. We've added ABS, which is electronic, and there's lots of sensors, and cars can stop themselves and so on, and have backup sensors, and they can park themselves. But the all the nuts and the bolts of suspension has gotten, more complicated. But you remove the electronic side or the control side of all that stuff, and it still works the same. An engine still runs on, it still needs gas and air and a spark to run. So don't forget that. But I kind of got off track there, but don't fall into the trap. Buy stuff from those guys, and always keep in mind that usually communicate with them. If you are getting ready to upgrade to another toolbox, they'll usually take your old one in on trade, whether it was a Craftsman or Harbor Freight or not. And the more expensive the toolbox is that you're buying, the more they'll give you for that one. They're probably not going to give you, they may actually give you more than what you paid for it in some cases. If you're paying 5 or 6, 7 grand for a toolbox, they may give you 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 $900 for $900 for something that you didn't pay that much for. So, and then keep that in mind. If you borrowed it twice, you need to buy it. You need to buy it. So, start slow. Don't rush. You're going to have to prove yourself. Don't be afraid to prove yourself. Another thing that you should, a few things that you need to buy, you're going to be doing a lot of oil changes. So make sure you have a good variety of filter, removal tools. So you have the band type filter removal tools. A lot of the newer stuff has has modular filters, so you have to remove, you know, a cover. And there's a lot of different. You can buy a set of those at Harbor Freight. They sell a set of like stamped steel nuts to remove the plastic or the aluminum cap to get to the filter. Buy a set of those. Buy a good set of, you know, wrenches that, you know, they make specific wrenches that are a little bit longer for drain plugs and stuff like that. And don't over tighten those, please. Please don't over tighten them. Like if you're familiar with the cobalt stuff like that, some of that stuff, they have, a lot of cars have like 10 millimeter sized nut head drain plugs, and they round off very easily if you over torque them. So do not over torque them. Do not over tighten oil filters. They're not head bolts. They don't need to be that tight. If you're actually looking up an oil filter, it's like not even 20 foot pounds. Most drain plugs are 50 or 20 foot pounds or less. So just snug them up. They're not head bolts. My God, I can't tell you how many times I've seen people, you know, if somebody else, Joe Schmo, tightened it up before you, and you come along and you're changing the oil and you remove it and you strip the threads out, it's going to be probably your fault, or you're probably going to be stuck trying to fix it. Or, you know, hopefully it just needs a drain plug. But if somebody else tightened that thing down to like 200 foot pounds, my God, I don't know why they do it, but you're going to experience it. Don't fall into that. I mean, don't let that get you in trouble, and don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. Don't run them in like drywall screws. Don't cross thread this stuff. Like, you have to think that there's probably going to be a chance that you're going to be sometime down the road, that's going to come back to you. So if it comes back to you, you're going to be the one that's stuck fixing it. And you don't want anybody else to be stuck in that bad situation where they're got threads in their hand for a bolt and they're trying to fix it. So I just wanted to take a minute and talk about those few things. I kind of got off track, but hey, I really appreciate all my listeners out there. And I really want to thank Anchor for their support and their help with their program. They make it really easy. Don't be afraid. Come out here and make a podcast. They make it really easy. Give it a whirl. I don't know. But please comment. Please. Positive, negative. Be mad. If you didn't like something I said, tell me. I'm cool with that. I like to hear it. I want to hear it all. So Krusty out. I believe this is episode 3. So, hey, we'll see you next time. Take it easy. Peace.
Oh, thank you.